1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The suspect in Saturday night's LGBTQ nightclub shooting in Colorado Springs is in the hospital and faces multiple charges. Five people died and 18 hurt. The latest from CBS's Janet Chamberlain.
The suspect, 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich, will face murder and hate crime charges. Investigators say they will file formal charges soon.
This is your boy.
A man of the same name and age was arrested after a bomb threat near Colorado Springs last year, but the charges were dismissed. There's no record police or family members tried to trigger Colorado's red flag law that would have allowed police to seize any weapons the man may have had.
In Hingham, Massachusetts, an SUV crashed through an Apple store this morning, killing one person and injuring at least 16 others. Some patients were brought to South Shore Hospital, where Dr. William Tollefson works.
The injuries were somewhat diverse, ranging from some pretty serious head trauma to pretty decent lower extremity trauma, mangled limbs.
Officials are still investigating the crash. Some parts of the Buffalo, New York region have received more than 6 feet of snow over the weekend. The lake effect snowfall has ended, but Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown tells those in the area.
People are out driving. We still in the southern portion of the city. We want you to use caution. A travel advisory will still be in effect.
President Biden has approved federal aid to help state and local authorities continue cleanup efforts. Airlines and regulators are pushing to have just one pilot in the cockpit of passenger jets instead of two. It comes as airlines deal with crew shortages, but safety advocates say two pilots are much safer than one. American Airlines Captain Dennis Tager.
We love the idea of the technology, but taking out another soul on that flight deck is taking away one of my deepest assets out there. And now let's get to the point why this might be brought up. There are three reasons why. Money, money, and money.
This Thanksgiving holiday, AAA expects nearly 55 million people will travel somewhere. CBS's Chris Van Cleve at Reagan National Airport.
Drivers can expect traffic to build as we get closer to Thanksgiving. AAA expects Wednesday to be the busiest driving day ahead of the holiday. Several airports, including LAX in Los Angeles, told us they expected yesterday to be one of their two busiest travel days of the Thanksgiving holiday.
This season on Chrisley Knows Best. Ta-da!
Reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley have been sentenced to lengthy prison terms after being convicted on charges including bank fraud and tax evasion. Todd Chrisley has been sentenced to 12 years in prison. Julie Chrisley has received 7 years. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Did you know there's a conservative advocacy and benefits organization with over 2 million members and counting? It's AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Here are three reasons why you should consider joining AMAC right now. First, AMAC saves you money. From discounts on travel and lodging, cell phones and plans, access to insurance products, and more. Joining AMAC is a powerful tool against inflation. Second, with a bi-monthly magazine, daily website content, podcasts with America's thought leaders, and an app that delivers insightful coverage of the issues that matter most, AMAC is a trusted source of information. And third, the reason that people say is their favorite is that AMAC fights for your conservative values on Capitol Hill. With more than 2 million members, AMAC is a voice that cannot be ignored, working tirelessly to preserve the freedom secured by our Constitution. Go to amac.us/liberty and join today. That's amac.us/liberty. amac.us/liberty.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
Six more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. lost my legs and my left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 14. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the east, around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. Lows dip down to about 18. Tomorrow night, upper 30s. Wednesday, turning warmer on Thursday, with highs in the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Go. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to. Lots to talk about. The presidential race for 2024 heating up. Yes, you had the Donald who jumped in. And as I said before, not quite sure, other than, you know, thinking some bizarre idea that going to save him from an indictment, which all experts seem to think within the next 3 months going to see possibly an indictment. I'm still looking at Fulton County, Georgia, but hey, Kanye, Yee is running for president. He says 2024, going to be the year of the Yee. Yee. Oh boy, I can't wait to get that bumper sticker. Yee. And I'm waiting for that part of it. The Yee. Ha. Yeah. Fun. And it's going to be that kind of an election season. I'm telling you, it's going to get fun early. And I came across this quote from one of the Trump campaign strategists, someone who is not going to leave their name, anonymous sources. He said of the Trump campaign, we have at least 30% of the Republican primary electorate that will do anything to support the president. And the value of their vote becomes proportionally higher if a bunch of others pile in the race and dilute the non-Trump vote and divide it up between them. And that is common sense. Didn't need an anonymous source to come up with that. Don't need to be a genius. Don't need to break out the crystal ball. Don't need to be clairvoyant. None of that. That's just common sense. The more kooks you get into the race, the less crazy your kook sounds and becomes. And this is what the Republican field is going to be. Oh, the fun. Get ready for the clown show. It is going to be, and I'm looking at this in a very positive light. The clown show is going to be entertainment based. Because I think this last election showed me, and fortunately so, that we do care about democracy, that we do as a people, or at least the majority of us, even if it's a simple majority, we still believe in democracy. And all of the clowns who don't, we're going to hopefully vote against. I now see that Nikki Haley may possibly, I don't know, thinking about it, open to the idea. Open, she's open, looking into running in, quote, a serious way. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So back to this frame, and I think this is important because you listen to Republicans on the media channels, and it's all about the things they hate about this country. And elections being one of the things that they hate. When they lose, obviously, you know, because when they win, then everything worked as it was supposed to. Worked just fine. We won. Everyone loves us. But when they lose, and they did lose this last time around, it's all about the disenfranchisement. It's all about the Democrats cheated. I remember 2020, you know, the people said, I had people telling me that, you know, Joe Biden's, how was it? He's got dementia. Sleepy Joe, you know, lazy, you know, all this frame. But, you know, during the pandemic, learned coding and is a super coder who was able to rig the election that only he was able to steal the votes for himself and not the down ticket ones. He was that crafty. I mean, this polar kind of he's Sleepy Joe, but he's crafty and wily. Very, very interesting, because this is what the right does masterfully. It's they're on all sides of every issue, retroactively, of course, in the rearview mirror, because they're always right. I just find it interesting. But I look at what's going on in Arizona, and again, you know, as I said, you ask Republicans today, and they hate America, especially the ballot stuff. You've got two rural counties out there right now, and Conkeys, I guess, is one of them, how you say that. I have to have somebody explain that to me. And Mojave County, both of those they're not going to certify their ballots. They've delayed the certification process. Now, these are rural counties that overwhelmingly went towards the Republicans. But they're claiming that Republican voters were disenfranchised. You go, you're in the vast majority. You control the machinery. You control all of it. How is it that they were disenfranchised? Did we miss something? Was there a memo that you got that we don't know about? Now, clearly, they're claiming it's other counties that they don't know anything about, because this is how conspiracy works. I heard a rumor. I heard somebody told me somebody knows somebody who saw somebody see somebody do something that somebody else saw somebody do something. Because that's how this stuff works. These anecdotes. I know a guy who knows a guy who saw a guy who tripped over a guy who blew the nose of a guy who, you know, saw a guy in the mirror while driving by in a car that got run over by a cat. You know, it's just crazy how these stories, you know, how these stories come about. But here we are in this moment where you've got two counties where the election officials are going, do they disenfranchise people? And what they do is you have this kind of heated rhetoric that, you know, we're saving the country. And look, I love this country. I am very clear about this. I will fight for my country. Even crazy people who are, well, lunatics. Especially them. But there's a moment where you go, you got to stand on the principles that this country stands for. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We're all created equal. Those kind of things. I guess when I was a kid learning about this, kind of internalized it, kind of believed it. I know we're not supposed to. I know rights are only for me and not for ye. Get that? Because ye's running for president. Ah. But, you know, here's the thing. on the other side, and you know, maybe a little bit on the left, but not nearly as much as you have on the right, you have this kind of macho, this kind of hyper-aggressive, toxic, violent mentality. To where now you have literally have people in Maricopa County, these elections officials, who have been moved to undisclosed locations because they fear their safety. Because there are threats out there. And, you know, I get threats all the time. I don't take many of them seriously. But then again, I don't have an entire machinery of right-wing crazy people going, these guys stole the election. I don't have an entire media empire pointing at me as the one person who cost Carrie Lake or Donald Trump the presidency and destroyed the future of the country for the good white folk. I don't have that. Not yet. Maybe it's coming. But this is insane. This is the kind of stuff that gets people killed. And this is what the right wants. Understand, they love this. The Donald Trumps of the world love this. The fact on January 6th that Donald Trump was glued, fixated on the television, watching people beating policemen and destroying property and ransacking the Capitol and defecating on the floor and urinating on desks, it tickled his fancy. Warm, fuzzy feeling, things dripping down his legs. I mean, he was orgasmic with joy because he got people to literally kill each other. This is Jay Gould on steroids. I could easily pay half the working class to murder the other half. Whether Gould actually said it or not, it's attributed to him. This is that. And Trump didn't even have to pay. This is the brilliant part. This is the mastery of Donald Trump, where Jay Gould is credited with, I could pay half the working class to murder the other half. The mastery of...
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes. Another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
Six more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, that this department is reaching out to the community, and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 14. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 36. Lows dip down to about 18. Tomorrow night, upper 30s. Wednesday, turning warmer on Thursday, with highs in the low 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Black troops faced racial presumptions about their capacity to carry out hard labor. They were determined to break down stereotypes. By fall, white and black bulldozer drivers coordinating the work together were celebrated in the pages of the Army's Yank magazine, Time, and the New York Times. Some historians consider the integrated work crews a factor in President Truman's later move to desegregate the armed forces. According to the New York Times,
welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I'm looking at Georgia. And again, when you look at what's going on in Arizona with all of this, the threats and the intimidation and this, and you got elections officials in hiding because the crazy right wing is threatening them. This is why what's going on in Georgia is so important. This fight for democracy, this fight to ensure that people have the right to vote, that the most violent, the loudest, the most aggressive, they don't get to dominate our electoral cycles, that we, the people, have the right and access to exercise the franchise. That's why, again, I think what's going on in Georgia right now is so important. And everything that happened up until this point, we have to know. And I look at the legislation that they passed, that SB 202. This is something we have to know about. Because understand, they're going to try and replicate it in other states. And here to share some thoughts on just how bad things are in Georgia. And to share some thoughts about a fabulous movie I hope everyone will take a look at. I've asked my good friend Greg Palast to come share some thoughts. Greg's an investigative journalist, New York Times bestselling author, and the director of Vigilante, Georgia's vote suppression hitman. You can see this movie for free at vigilantemovie.com. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
You're very welcome. And by the way, the movie is gratis, free. You know, a luck from a bagel, as my grandmother would say. A hole in a bagel. It's zero. You can always make a donation to the filmmakers. We're nonprofits, but that's okay. I want you to see the film, but most important, I want you to see the film and find anyone you've ever met in Georgia, or even if you're flying over Georgia, drop a copy of the DVD. But I want you to see the film. Tell people in Georgia. But the reason why you need to see it, even though it's called Vigilante Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman, they're coming to hit you, baby. If you think that you are... You know, I've been for 9 years. I've been, talking with Rick, but working for Rolling Stone, BBC, and Al Jazeera, and all that. And we, same thing. Georgia is where they test drive the latest Jim Crow ops. And so in Georgia, we have this problem. We had, first of all, and we have a lot of BS going through the mainstream media. One is that the Republicans have said, you know, Brian Kemp said, oh, they said my new law, SB 202, which was called Jim Crow 2.2 by the NAACP, that our law is not Jim Crow because we had record turnouts for the governor's race in which he beat Stacey Abrams. You know, last time he definitely shoplifted it from her. But this time he may have won, but he ran under his rules, of course. But he said there was no vote suppression. And now Warnock, Senator Raphael Warnock, the Democrats, who's in a runoff with Herschel Walker on December 6th, the Republican, the Trump-chosen candidate. The only reason, and I talked to the top voting officials, I talked to like New Georgia Project lawyers, et cetera, everyone agrees. Without SB 202, this new Jim Crow law, Raphael Warnock, who had won by 35,000 votes, would be reelected senator. There would be no runoff. And by a wide margin.
And why is that?
Well, are you ready for this number?
I'm ready.
We warned you.
I've been waiting for it all day.
The law in the new law in Georgia helped reduce the number of mail-in ballots from 1.28 million to 0.26 million. Okay, now if you went through our No Child's Behind Left school system, even so, you can do the simple arithmetic. It's basically 1 million mail-in ballots were lost, dropped. When I say lost, they didn't just throw them in the ocean. There were literally we went down 81%, a million mail-in ballots fewer than 2 years ago. Now, why is that? And the answer is, in SB 202, number one, they prohibited counties from sending out ballots like we do in California and many, many other states. A county can't say, let's mail out absentee ballots to everyone. You have to specify. Then you have to add ID, which never happened before, even though they can't say that there was a single wrongfully cast ballot in the last election. They looked through every ballot, by the way. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation literally went through every drop box ballot, found not one fraudulent ballot, but they added this new thing. And then here's the big one. They removed the drop boxes. You know where, so that most people
of course
recently don't trust the post office to get their ballot in on time. In California, you have 1 week if the ballot's postmarked by election day to get your ballot in. In Georgia, it actually has to be received on election day, received. And so people want to put them in drop boxes, and they don't want to wait in five-hour lines when they go to early voter to vote. They just want to put the – they bring their ballot and they stick it in the box. So they get a ballot and they stick it in the box. You can't do that anymore. So literally they took the drop boxes, which, by the way – and I'm sure it's just a coincidence. When they took away the mail-in votes and the drop box ballots, did you know that those votes broke over 2-1 – for Raphael Warnock in the last runoff?
Of 2-1. They did.
And in before the runoff, with when it was Biden-Trump, it broke 2-1 for Biden over Trump. It broke 2-1 for Warnock over his Republican opponent, 2-1 for Ossoff over his Republican opponent. That's how they won, by 100,000 votes.
Let me ask you this then. Who's to say that those million mail-in ballots, those million people didn't march themselves to the poll and cast their ballots in person?
Well, there's a good reason. There are several reasons. Number one, a lot of people really do. They have very limited hours. Second, they cut the hours even further. So, for example, most black people vote on Souls to the Poll Sunday. Well, they eliminated Souls to the Poll Sunday. They said you can't vote on the week before the weekend before the election. They said that you – and because they also crushed the mail-in balloting, they virtually eliminated mail-in balloting because they crushed the time of the runoff from 60 days to 28 days. Now, let me explain what that means. That means in 28 days, these counties have to somehow print ballots, get them out, create the whole voting apparatus all within 28 days. And even when their votes hadn't been certified till this week. So there's no – weekend voting this weekend, or this past weekend, they didn't have time to set it up. The next weekend is Thanksgiving, and they try to stop. And by the way, the Republicans actually announced that they were not going to allow any voting over the weekend after Thanksgiving because it's within 2 days of a state holiday. You know what the state holiday is? Recognition of Robert E. Lee. I kid you not. So it's a good way to recognize Robert E. Lee is saying no black souls to the polls day. Now, by the way, they just lost that one in federal court. So there's going to be one weekend for souls to the polls. One single weekend. In fact, not Sunday even. You can't have the after the church buses for people who don't have their own cars. So again, they killed Sunday voting completely. They killed souls to the polls weekends except for one. Early voting is crushed. And you can't even ask for an absentee ballot because you don't have time to get it in and get it back in time. It's almost impossible. So, and then you're going to have lines backed up through the, you know, for hours. C.K. Hoffler, the head of Rainbow Push, she said she waited 11 hours. I think it was Helen Butler, 5 hours. Because what they're doing is they're reducing polling places, especially in black neighborhoods.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine, Greg, if in my neighborhood, look, I've never waited more than like 15 or 20 minutes.
Yep.
I can't imagine in my neighborhood if I had this. If I can't imagine what my neighbors would do if we had to wait 11 hours, if we were lined up down Firehouse Road all the way down to 11 hours in line. I can't even imagine how many farms we'd have to pass before you got into. I can't imagine how people would react. There would be a revolution then if people in my neighborhood had to wait that long.
Well, we kind of already had that revolution in 1776, but it hasn't taken effect yet. So the problem is that, for example, when I was in Ohio, this is an old trick. I was in Ohio in 2016, and they had changed the voting procedure. They had changed the voting procedure to allow only one polling station per county. That meant Cleveland got a vote, but counties with 6,000 cows and 2,000 people got another polling station. So you got one polling station per county in that early voting when most 70% of black people vote. And they ended up, I was in Dayton where black people were waiting in line after church for 5.5 hours.
Jeez.
The group I was with, 5.5 hours. Then I went to Toledo, to the suburbs, to the burbs. And you know, the polling station, there was no wait. There was a line of poll workers who were there to offer you coffee and cookies. The black people had to wait outside in a parking garage for hours. And this is Ohio in November.
Wow.
So look, so Georgia said, sometimes Georgia doesn't invent things. Sometimes they borrow them. So they said, oh, that's a great idea from Ohio, except that it's sun instead of snow in Georgia. And of course, infamously, you can be waiting in line for 3 hours. And if anyone dares to give you no coffee or cookies, if that's a felony crime in Georgia to give someone a bottle of water, slice of pizza. And I have this on camera. Poor Papa John's guys. I kid you not. Papa John's guys came out because there are people waiting in line hours and hours, and they're handing out free calzones and bottles of water. And I warned them. I said, you know, you're committing a felony crime. Read the Georgia law, and now this time they're serious about it. They've actually upped the penalties and widened the enforcement in SB 202 this year. So it's crazy. So they make it difficult to vote by mail, impossible virtually to drop it off by Dropbox, and you can't. And waiting in line, they make you suffer if you're in African-American areas.
It's crazy. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show with Greg Palast, investigative journalist, New York Times best-selling author. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, one of the best books ever written. Also the director of Vigilante, Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman. You can see this documentary free in your own home. Stream it live at vigilantemovie.com. We will get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Grab your popcorn because it is a good movie. It's a documentary, but it is a movie.
Only 2 weeks, man. Only 2 weeks free, and then it disappears. You can't even get it commercially. This is the only way you can get it is free at vigilantemovie.com. And, you know, go to gregpalast.com, check it out. Leonardo DiCaprio says, be there. His dad is the producer, but I'm not sure. I don't think that's why he's prejudiced in favor of the film.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, I look at Maricopa County. I look at where you've got the people, the election supervisors, who are in undisclosed location because of the imagined vote fraud. You know, the right has masterfully convinced their brethren that there's all this fraud and abuse out there, when the reality is Republicans, their vote suppression tactics, their vote theft, they're doing right out in front of us. They're doing right under, just right before our very eyes. And I got to wonder, if Democrats were as bold to try some of this stuff on Republicans, what kind of response would there be if there's nothing and election officials are in undisclosed locations? Imagine if there was actually something.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that that in Georgia, and again, I'm not being partisan. The film is called Vigilante because these are vigilante challengers, not government guys, but just self-appointed vote fraud hunters. There are nearly 100 of them who have challenged 149,000 fellow Georgians' right to vote. And all the people we found were African-American and young people. In other words, voters of color blue. And not one Democrat has challenged a Republican voter. We cannot find a single Democratic challenge, mass challenge of any Republican list. They have not presented any list of voters to challenge. They just won't do it. And I have to respect them because they could really gum up the system by saying, you've just challenged 149,000. We got 149,000 too. Here, take a look at this.
In every place where we did our movie events while we were out on the road, that question came up. Why don't Democrats do the same? You know, why doesn't one person in every county challenge every Republican vote? You know, and you had the perfect line for it.
Yeah, you cannot endorse this Jim Crow tactic. You cannot mirror it. You cannot become them. It ain't worth it. We have to expose them and bust them. And by the way, some good news is that Gwinnett County, they had a 3-2 elections board vote rejecting every one of the 31,700 challenges in that county. 31,000 voters challenged. That was, by the way, they really were targeting Hispanic and Asian American voters, which is interesting. And they got turned down. And by the way, it was a majority of one that stopped the vigilante attack, and they cited my work. So I was very pleased that. So I want you to see vigilantemovie.com. Get the word out. And because there's going to be a lot of people challenged on election day, and it's going to be, I'm just worried that that could be the tragic difference.
Yeah, good stuff. Again, the movie vigilante.com, vigilantemovie.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. But Greg, as always, amazing stuff. I'll look forward to having you back again, sharing some more thoughts.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Good stuff, brother. Appreciate it. Again, vigilantemovie.com. Check it out. Really, it's fabulous, especially the scene where Greg's in this woman's home who has challenged like 34,000 people's vote. And he's just showing her pictures. You know this person? You know this person? You know this person? And she's like, no, I don't know this person. No, I don't know. And she's like, why? Why'd you challenge? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. And then, get out. With a shotgun by the, you got to see the movie. Vigilantemovie.com. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1945. That was the day that 320,000 United Auto Workers went out on strike against General Motors. The strike was part of a wave of work actions that washed over the country after World War II. Workers were growing more and more frustrated that company profits were soaring while workers' wages remained stagnant. During the war, most unions had abided by no strike pledges. But once the war was over, workers wanted their fair share of the growing American economy. In just 1 year, 5 million workers participated in more than 4,500 strikes. The GM strikers demanded a 30% pay increase. Walter Reuther, president of the UAW, also insisted that the company could meet this demand without raising the prices of their vehicles. He asked the company to open their books so workers and the public could see the full details of the company's profits. GM refused. They characterized Reuther as a socialist for even making such an outrageous request. During negotiations, Harry Cohen, the GM Assistant Director of Personnel, told President Reuther, quote, "Why don't you get down to your size and get down to the type of job you're supposed to be doing as a trade union leader and talk about money you would like to have for your people and let the labor statesmanship go to hell for a while."
The GM strike lasted 113 days. The workers won a 17.5% pay increase and improvements to vacation and overtime. But they did not get to look at GM's books or gain any say on how GM vehicles were priced.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So our friends over at the Smart Union, the Sheet Metal Air and Rail Transportation Union, they have voted to reject the labor agreement on the rail. This is a big deal. Now, you know, everyone's all freaked out going, what's this going to mean? Does this mean there's going to be a strike in December? Potentially. You know, potentially the workers will go on strike, and this is going to be a showdown between the administration and unions. This is the rail unions are saying, look, we got to make our workers' lives better. And the workers are saying, this isn't good enough. This isn't going to make our lives better. This isn't. And look, these rail companies are making enormous profits. And you look at the working conditions, because it's not the money, it's the working conditions. You look at the working conditions of some of these engineers and the people who are working, like, it's just, we're not going any further. Because here's the thing, I go into rail yards all the time. They can't keep people. They can't keep people to stay. And you go, what's wrong with our supply chains? Well, the big part of it is transportation. You know, trucking and rail are big problems. The conditions are terrible. And this is where, you know, unions are going, look, this is about making lives better. This is about, getting back to the bargaining table and hammering out a good agreement. Now, Marty Walsh, the Secretary of Labor, has already said that Congress will probably force another cooling off period if this goes. So that would probably get us to the other side of the holidays. But, you know, good on these guys for saying we're not going to take it. I don't know that I would have, but we'll see. Also, in Congress, there's a piece of legislation that has been banging around that we need to get ahead of. This trade adjustment assistance bill that I think it was proposed back in June of 21 by Debbie Stabenow, co-sponsored by Gary Peters, the senator from Michigan. Senate Bill 2218. Evidently, back in June, trade adjustment assistance ended. It's over. So millions of workers who are going to lose their job because of trade, they're not going to get the help that they need to make the transition to the next job, the health care that comes with it, the income, the additional income, the 2 years of unemployment that usually comes, the tax credit, the job training, the job search assistance, all of that stuff gone. Now, this was established back in the early 60s to help, and has helped, you know, more than 5 million workers transition from one lost job to something else. They're estimating more than 40,000 people have already gotten screwed over by this. And you know, it got me thinking today, because my wife bought a coffee pot. And you go, how do you get from trade adjustment to coffee pot? Walk me through this. She bought a Mr. Coffee. And immediately, Mr. Coffee sends me into this crazy world of, you know, being from Cleveland. Mr. Coffee was an icon in the Cleveland area. It was founded there. It was there for years. It employed people. In fact, a family member worked there. And, you know, over a series of ownership changes over the years, it has become, instead of this American icon, it's now a Chinese-made product. The coffee pot she bought was made in China. The headquarters is no longer in Cleveland. I think it's in Florida. But you look at what's happened to working people every step of the way, and this trade adjustment assistance, I know, helped the people in that factory, because when they moved production, you know, overseas, they were able to get this trade adjustment assistance to help them move to the next phase of their lives. Now, these were good jobs. These were. At one point, these were good jobs. They were good union jobs. They had health care. They had retirement. They had all this stuff. And because of corporate greed, mass consolidation, and this is why I keep coming back to asking working people to, it's about time we come together. Because we've lived through all of this stuff. Day after day, month after month, year after year. One big corporation buys up another corporation, and what happens? Well, we do away with the redundancy, which means you or me. We need synergy, which means one person doing two people's job, which means you're doing the work of two people making half the money that you were making before because you're just grateful to have a job. And if you do lose that job because they moved manufacturing overseas, now because we've got Republicans in Congress who won't move this along or won't help with this, this is going to be dead. And the thousands of workers who will be affected in the future, they're gonna get hammered. And I look at, again, you know, while we're focused on the divisive stuff, while we're focused on, you know, the parental, anti-parental directives, you know, the trans kid stuff, while we're focused on you know, gays marrying, and while we're focusing on whatever the division is, this is the real stuff. The job laws. The thing that was part of the community on the east side of Cleveland since the early 70s. That because of one buyout after another, one big company going, hey, we can squeeze the eagle to the we can squeeze a quarter till the eagle screams and make more profit for us and stiff those working people. And we end up repeatedly holding the bag. And at the end of it, there was always a little bit of help. And I'll tell you, the Trade Adjustment Assistance, the TAA, was not great. Unemployment only replaces about 40% of what you were making before. The tax credit that you get for the health care wasn't great, but it was more than you had before. The educational assistance wasn't great, but it was a help.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcast.